Welcome to the Nations Church Belmont podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
All right, let's get into the Word of God this morning. I want you to turn with me. We're going to continue on our little mini-series, so to speak, that we stumbled into last week. We're going to continue from Matthew 18 and Luke 18. If you've got your Bibles, Matthew 18, Luke 18, Matthew 18, 1 to 5, Luke 18, 15 to 18. All right, we're going to give you a quick recap. Just show a hand so I know how much to recap. Who was in the room last week? Just show of hands. I'm not going to shame you or anything. Just show of hands. Cool, awesome, great. I know how much to kind of unpack. So last week we started to unpack this thought, childlike, not childish. Childlike, not childish. So I want to flesh this concept out for a few weeks because the passages of the scripture we looked at are so rich and so amazing. We looked at Matthew 18, Luke 18. We contrasted the words of Jesus against the teachings of Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 and 14 to the church of Corinth. Jesus says, come into the kingdom of God like a child. Jesus says that to his disciples who are arguing on who's the greatest. He said, actually, you've got it kind of wrong. The greatest and how you should approach the kingdom of God is like this child. Paul then speaks to the church of Corinth and says, hey, grow up, mature a little bit. When I was like a child, I thought like a child, but when I've grown up, I've left those ways behind. So we ask ourselves the question, hold up, Paul, are you countering the gospel of Jesus? Because that can't be right. You said, I make it my duty to preach Christ and Christ crucified. Anything else I do not wish to entertain. Or are you on the side of Jesus? As we unpacked it, we actually said that Jesus is doubling down, or Paul is doubling down on Jesus' teachings. When you study the text, when you study the Greek breakdown of that, it's actually translated as leave the childish ways behind. In other words, Paul's doubling down on what Jesus said, which is be childlike and not childish. And the key takeaway of last week was this, that at the paradox in the kingdom of God is that to grow up, we must grow down. You guys still with me? To grow up, we must grow down. And so we summarize it with three key points. Childlike posture is fully dependent on our Father. Childlike posture lives in awe, awakened to eternity. Childlike posture lives in humility. And so today we're going to pick up the conversation that we started and we're going to jump back into Matthew 18, Luke 18. Turn to your neighbor, say, I'm ready. Come on, say it with some conviction. I'm ready. Matthew 18, that's what I want to hear. At the time, Jesus came to his disciples and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? The disciples came to Jesus, and he called the little child to him, placed the child amongst them. He said, truly I tell you, unless you change, become like this little child or children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes such a child in my name welcomes me. Luke 18, 15 to 18. People were bringing babies to Jesus for him to place their hands on him. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked him. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of heaven of God is like a child. He's not like a child, will never enter it. Jesus is saying, if you're not like a child, you can't behave like a child, see things how they see the kingdom of heaven, you will never enter it. So I want to park on Luke 18 for a moment before we keep going. So Jesus is speaking about little children at the time that are being brought to him in the natural, and then Jesus kind of changes the conversation. He changes it from speaking about the natural to the supernatural. You guys following me? He changes it from being about a physical little child to then addressing what's in the natural to then having a supernatural conversation. So he speaks about what's going on, the child coming to him, and then he frames it as to how you should behave, what our posture should be before the Lord. And here's what he has. He has an entry-level conversation. An entry-level conversation. If you want to enter into the kingdom of God, you have to be like a child. So Jesus, what do you mean by that? Well, here's the thing. When you and I in this room, when we said yes to Jesus, 99% of us knew nothing. Let's be honest. 99% of us. Like when you came to Jesus, more than likely you didn't have a theology degree behind your name. Come on. When you came to Jesus and you stepped into church for the first time, you more than likely had this thought, man, this is some dope karaoke. Like, this is unreal. This is great singing. I can't believe, like, these guys are not professional musicians. They just volunteer. It would have blown your mind, right? Like, when you came to church, like, you would have had this thought, like, man, I can't believe that, like, at halftime in the message, they give you snacks, communion, right? You would have thought, man, this is awesome. Like, they care about my soul. Like, they know that I'm going to get hungry mid-service, so it's like a little interlude. How cool is that? Come on, let's be real. More than likely, you would have, if you were in a family of faith, your parents may have led you to the Lord. And they wouldn't have explained to a child tons and tons of different doctrine. More than likely, they would have given you the fundamentals, maybe the Romans Road. Maybe they would have given you the fundamentals of your faith. That Jesus died for you, that he was God's son, that you and you in and of your own strength didn't deserve to be here, but Jesus paid a price for you, and now you can have life and life everlasting, and you can be in relationship, and sin disqualified you, but now you can give your life over to him. And if you were to explain your faith to someone that you met, you'd probably fumble your way through it, something on the lines of this, like, you know, it'd be simple. Well, I believe in a kingdom that I don't really see yet on this side of eternity. And I believe in a God that I can't really tangibly see yet. But I believe in God because he loved me. And I give my life to him. And one day I'm going to see him on the other side of eternity. But on this side of eternity, I'm just trying to grow to be like him. It's a simple conversation. You guys with me? It's a simple conversation. And Jesus is saying, when you enter into the kingdom of God, be childlike. He's talking about this. That when you enter into the kingdom of God, this is how you're going to enter. Everything's incredible. Everything's amazing. Like, I can't, can you believe these stories in the Bible are real? Can you believe this Jesus character spat in some dude's face and he healed him? Like, can you believe there was this crazy story about a guy swallowed by a whale? Like, can you believe that this dude who everyone preaches about and he's a good king actually committed adultery and then killed someone, but the Bible says that he's a guy after God's own heart? Like, can you believe someone? You would have been amazed, would have been in awe. That's the childlike notion Jesus is drawing upon when you enter into the kingdom of God. He's saying when you enter in that way, you'll find yourself entering into the kingdom of God. But when you don't, you'll be like Nicodemus. He came with the questions and he wanted knowledge. He couldn't leave his life behind. He came at night to see Jesus. And the Bible says that he could not enter and be born again because he couldn't come with a childlike posture. He came with a posture that said, I know it all. I've got it all. I want it all. Jesus, you are just another means to an end. But Jesus said, you're missing the point, Nicodemus. You want to be born again? Just come. It's simple. Follow me. What do you mean? I'm a ruler. I've got laws. I know the Torah off the back of my hand. I know everything. What do you mean? Give me some leadership pearls. Give me something directly from the Torah. And Jesus said, just follow me. Just leave your life behind and follow me. Now, please hear me clearly. I'm not speaking against the sanctification journey. That is a different thing. We're having an entry-level conversation here when you come into the kingdom of God. Is that okay? But here is the danger of our Christian faith. The danger is that we can enter into the kingdom of God childlike, but become childish once we enter. We can enter into the kingdom of God childlike, but become childish once we enter. Now I just need you to please hear my heart. This isn't like a message this week and last week where, like, the Lord woke me up at 3 a.m. and said, hello, Gareth, your campus is very childish. Preach this message. Didn't happen. I'm today and last week, I'm exegeting scripture for you. Is that okay? We have to wrestle with scripture even when it's not the bless me messages. Come on. We have to wrestle with scripture even when it's uncomfortable truths. Jesus has uncomfortable conversations with his disciples all the time. So, Gareth, what does it look like? What is a practical example to enter in a childlike manner, but then somehow have childish tendencies grip our heart? Here's some practical example. When we enter into the kingdom of God, God, I surrender my whole life. God, I give you my whole life. And as we enter, but along the journey, these childish tendencies come in. God, I'll give you 50-50. When we entered into the kingdom of God, God, I don't know much about this journey called life. You tell me what am I going to study this? Am I going to do that? Am I going to have this job? Am I going to do this? I want to read your word. I want to see what it says. I want to hear your voice through your spirit. You just direct me and I'll just do it. But then as you enter in and start walking these childish mannerisms, God, I'm going to do this. Come here. You bless it. Enter into the kingdom of God in a childlike manner, but then somehow childish tendencies can grip us. Here's a good one. Enter in when you came. Let me tell you, I guarantee the first few Sundays at any church you were at, once you got saved, once you realized that Jesus took your sins, it was mind-blowing. Do you remember every worship song was so impactful? Jesus, thank you so much. Jesus, thank you so much. Didn't matter what the song was, Jesus, thank you so much. Didn't matter what the key was, Jesus, thank you so much. It didn't matter what the lyrics, Jesus, thank you so much. As you entered, and then on the journey, the childish tendencies. Did that song last week. Yeah, Miriam's a bit off today. You know, I got an ear for these things. It's the key of D, she's singing in key of C. You know. No, it's just, we usually kind of go to 10:22, it's 10:24, I'm just wondering. And we wonder, but can I be honest, as a pastor, I don't always do it, but there's times where when I'm emceeing, I'll look around on the congregation. And I always ask myself, what is it between the people who are just worshiping? However they worship, that's up to you. And the people who are just like, I think it's because we lost the childlike awe that we came into the kingdom of God with. I think it's because we forget. You forget. Can I remind you? You were dead in your sin. Can I remind you of that? Can I remind you of that? Can I honestly remind you, like you say, oh yeah, Gareth, I know. No, do you really know? Like, we were actually dead in our sin. We didn't deserve this life. God, in his infinite mercy and justice, if he was like, hey, listen, nah, you guys are good, cool. But in his love, man, in his love, he would send his own son to die a criminal's death on a cross he didn't deserve to save my life. Oh, well, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Yeah. No, thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you for the sacrifice. Can you see how we enter into the kingdom of God? That's the genius of Jesus. He's already prophetic in nature. He already is telling, he's having a genius conversation. You enter it childlike, but he's also talking about the behavior to continue to have after you enter into the kingdom of God. And so today, I want to share with you three key points from the text. And I pray that I would encourage you, uplift you on the week ahead. But point number one is this: simplicity and purity of heart open us up to deeper depths. Simplicity and purity of heart open us up to deeper depths. In the Old Testament, we're introduced to a guy called King David. King David has some kind of story. A shepherd boy, forgotten about by his dad, not deemed worthy to be the next king. Anointed by the prophet Samuel, meant to be next king after Saul. And he does some incredible things for God. He does some incredibly stupid things for God. He commits adultery. To cover it up, he commits murder. But the Bible says something weird and interesting at the same time about David. Have you noticed? It says David was a man after God's own heart. So how can you be a man after God's own heart, yet this is a dude who stuffed up time and time again? Well, I think the answer is found in some of the Psalms that he pens. We get to Psalm 131 and David has fought some battles. In fact, so many battles as he fought that in Chronicles we're told that by this stage of his life, the Lord says through his prophet that actually David, he can't build me a temple. His hands are so dirty with the blood that he has spilt. I'm going to get his son to build me a temple. This isn't some young punk. This isn't some young dude that hasn't seen things. This is a king that has had battles. This is a king that has been on the front line. This is a king that has defeated some people and taken some territory. And he is a mighty king. And at this stage of his life, listen to this, Psalm 131:1-3. He says, God, my heart, it's not prideful, it's not boastful, it's not above it all. Nor my eyes are lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quietened my soul. Like a weaned child from his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. So David pens a psalm of thankfulness. And he catches this, he reminds himself of the childlike tendencies that he once had when he was approaching the Lord. David's won battles. He's had victories. He's an older man now. He's seen some things, taken lands. He's been chased by a king that he served, had the right to take over. And in this place, David reminds his soul, I've quietened myself. And I remember that I've come before the Lord before in a childlike nature. And I'm penning this psalm to remind myself and to remind anyone else that reads it that it's still about living with a childlike faith. It's still about living like a dependent child. It's a simple faith. It's a pure faith. And he's reminding himself and the readers of the psalm. He's saying, I was once so dependent like a little child on its mother. I now need to remind myself I know some stuff. I've had some victories. I've gotten older, but I still want to have a childlike faith. Listen to this line. I have not concerned myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Hold up, David. You are the king. Anyone catch that? This line is your job. So what are you saying? You're saying you're not doing your job? Valid question to ask. You're saying that everything else, oh, I'm just too lazy. He's not saying that. The key is the lines after it. He says, I haven't concerned myself with all these complexities that overtake the childlike faith that I should have. Yes, I want to build upon it, but all the deeper stuff in the kingdom of God means nothing if I can't get the simple things right. And so David's a man after God's own heart. And childlike nature, childlike faith actually speaks about a purity of heart. When we think of a childlike faith or a childlike posture before the Lord, I'm reminded of Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see the Lord. David says in Psalm 51, create in me, O God, a pure and clean heart. And so David knows that being childlike is an expression of having a characteristic of a pure heart. And I was telling our 9 a.m. service, but I really sense even prophetically for our churches, not just here, but all over Australia, that the Lord is after churches once again with pure hearts. The Lord is after churches once again with pure hearts. Guys, what is this simplicity? What is this purity of heart? It's this, Father, whatever you want from me, I'll just do it. God, you said follow, so I'm following. I don't know what the next 10 years have, but if you said yes, then I'll come. It doesn't sound super complex, but maybe that's the beautiful nature of the kingdom of God. Father, what's next for my life? I want to pray. I want to inquire of you. I would love to follow. I want to hate what you hate. I want to love what you love. I want to be moved by your spirit. Wherever you go, I want to follow. That's the simplicity and purity of heart. And so David had to constantly remind his soul, and we need to do the same. We need to do the same. Matthew 11, right? Jesus is speaking. And some of John the Baptist's disciples, they're like, are you the Messiah? Are you the one, Jesus? He says, well, tell them. Like, he pretty much says yes, but unofficially. Well, tell them what you're seeing. The blind eyes are open. The dead can hear. The people are being raised from the grave. Like, the acceptable year of the Lord is here. They know straight away, this is a yes. Dude, just tell me yes next time, right? So then they go and Jesus is speaking. Jesus begins to unpack the different things that he's been doing. And one of the things he says is about how he's been doing miracles in different places. Excuse me. He's been doing them people haven't really been seeing him as the Messiah. Now, if I were Jesus, I would think that's a worry, because the whole reason I'm here is to show people who I am. But catch what Jesus says, Matthew 11, 25 to 26. He's been lamenting for these cities that didn't believe in him. At the time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this is what you were pleased to do." Often we want the super insightful things of God, and we want the profound truths. I want to say there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible says deep calls to deep. Nothing wrong with knowing the deep things of God. Nothing wrong with wanting more. As a church, as a pastor, I want to encourage our campus to not just get caught in the shallow sands, but to actually explore, to go deeper in the things of God. That's our heart's desire. That's our want. That's what the Lord would want for us in this season. But often at times, we can put the cart before the horse, so to speak. So many times we want to be 10 steps ahead of God. But maybe God's calling his church back to the simple things again. Catch this. Maybe before desiring the deep, God is asking if we're desiring the pure and simple. Maybe before desiring the deep, God is asking if we desire the pure and simple. I'm going to give you a clumsy application. I'm going to ask Ty up on stage to help me. I told our 9 a.m. service to do this next part, and they didn't do it. So show me that you believe I'm your campus pastor. No, joking. Give me 10 seconds. Talk amongst yourselves. 10 seconds, go.
I said talk.
Is that all right? Oh, this is so tight. I told our 9 a.m. This is my glory days. I'm wearing it from Ty. All right. I'm glad that you guys spoke. You're better than a 9 a.m. All right. So they didn't? Oh, sad. All right, we'll work on that over the years to come. But this is Steph Curry's singlet. I love Steph Curry. It's always been a desire of me to somehow talk about Steph Curry on platform. But I promise this is going somewhere. I had a really interesting conversation with a basketball coach, Div 1 coach, NBL 1, which is kind of like underneath before you get Perth Wildcats and all that stuff. And we're talking about something that's really interesting. I played basketball, and when you're younger, in the key, you have 2 points, which is what you score when you're inside the key or closer to the hoop, and inside the three-point line. So 2 points is what you get for scoring, shooting the ball in the basket, close enough. And when you're a kid, when we were younger, we were taught in everything to take close shots. We would practice close. We would practice layups. We would do things close to the basket. It was 2 points. It was just automatic. Everything you did, it was kind of like, don't go out to the three-point line, right? That was kind of the rule. That was what you taught your kids. That's what you learned. Don't go near the three-point line. Now, what happened is the greatest player on the face of the planet came, Steph Curry, and he was really good at doing crazy things. He was good at shooting from a three-point line and beyond it. So good was he that he won championships and MVPs. But here's the thing. As he started to do it, it took over courts everywhere. And so now people like myself, who were like, man, if Steph Curry can do it, I can do it. We were like shooting two-point shots. Now when we rocked up to gyms, we were like, man, no, I got this. And so, you know, court would be open, wide open laps, and we would pull up from three, air ball it, but be really confident. Good shot. You know? And I was speaking to a coach of a Div 1 team. He said something interesting is happening with kids, younger and younger and younger. And that is kids are taking layups and they are missing without any pressure. They're missing the shot without any pressure, any constraints, any time commitments going on around them. There's no shot clock winding down, nothing. They're just missing wide open layups. And he said, it's because kids are coming down right now and they want to pull up from deep, but they've never practiced the simple. So they want to pull up from deep, but they've never practiced the simple. I wonder if in our Christian faith, that's a little bit like us. I wonder how many times we desire, nothing wrong with it, to pull up from deep. Friend, please hear me. Counseling's important. We have Christian counselors in this campus. All that stuff, inquiring, doing life in a community of faith is absolutely important. But maybe before the deep, maybe the simple is just to inquire of the Lord.
Yeah, great.
I get it. I like podcasts. I like books. I'm a reader. I understand. But maybe before all those things that are deep, whatever happened to just reading a bit of the Word? I get it. We need faith of others. Sometimes we are the person in the stretcher carrier. I get it. Sometimes we don't have enough faith of ourselves. I get it. But maybe, just maybe, we got to stop relying on the faith of our parents and our grandparents, the deep. Maybe we got to have our own faith at some stage. Maybe the simple, pure things. Look, I get it. Come to a prayer meeting. Have a prayer meeting. Do prayer yourself. Absolutely awesome. Fantastic. But with other people, sorry, fantastic. Go deep. Have intercessory team. Awesome. Praise God for them. They're the secret source of our campus. But at some stage, the simple. So you got to have a prayer life yourself. Could it be that maybe this is what Jesus is speaking about? A childlike faith that stays childlike and simple and pure in heart all the way from the start to the end. I want to be that kind of campus. I want to be that kind of Christian. Yes, desire the deep, absolutely. But pull up from three when you've practiced the simple. Pull up from deep when you've practiced the simple. Don't do it the other way around, because I'm telling you, it'll hurt your Christian faith. And one day when trials and temptations and storms come, guarantee you, friend, they will come. If you follow the Word of God, they'll come. But if you don't have a simple, foundational truth to stand on, if you don't know the Word, you'll be deceived. If you don't know the voice of the Holy Spirit, I guarantee you it'll be the voice of the enemy. If you don't know how to speak to the Lord in good times, you ain't going to know how to speak to Him in bad times. I'm telling you, if you don't know the simple foundations of our faith, the simple orthodoxies of our faith, you will be in trouble when times get tough. So it's an encouragement to us as a church. Let's have a simple faith. Amen? I'm going to try and take this jumper off. Thank you, Ty. Can we give Ty a round of applause? That was all you, Ty. That was all you. Whew. I was really hot in that singlet. If we want to know the hidden things in the kingdom of God, we must have a childlike faith. Jesus is talking about hidden things, deep things. And if you want to know the deep, yeah. They are worth knowing. Absolutely. Don't hear what I'm not saying. They are worth knowing. But in order to get there, you have to have a childlike faith. You have to have a childlike posture before the Lord. Point two, a childlike posture looks like taking care of one another. I'm going to exegete a little bit. Matthew 18, one of our founding texts we looked at. So to understand Matthew 18, we have to understand context. We have to understand the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew has five discourses. What does that mean? It means five like main topics, five main thoughts, five main conversations that Jesus talks about and then takes time to tell parables about. It would be like me having this series, right, like childlike and not childish, and then taking 3 weeks to unpack it. That's what Jesus does in the book of Matthew. He has five different discourses. We don't have time to go through it all. You guys still following me? So one of the discourses that he has is a discourse about the church. It is about believers. It is about you and I. That discourse is found in Matthew 18. You guys still with me? So Jesus is speaking not about unbelievers. He's speaking about people who call him Lord and Savior. He's speaking about you and I. He's speaking about believers. So he includes parables about the lost sheep, the unforgiving servant, how to forgive, how to deal with sin, how to live in the light of eternity while you are on this side of eternity. So whatever Jesus starts with, a discourse, is a huge deal. So when he starts the discourse on the church with how to behave like a child, you better believe if it was a big deal to open with, it's a big deal to us as believers. Amen? So Jesus goes on. We don't have time to go into it all, but I'm going to summarize really quickly. Within this, he has four parables. Number one, he says, hey, if you've got children, and if anyone causes a child to sin or leads them astray, then they should be put a stone around their neck and they should go in the ocean. Jesus isn't just speaking about literal children. He's speaking about you and I, because we understand the context. You guys with me? We understand where it sits. So he's saying, hey, if you're in a church and you got a brother and sister and they come to church and they're in faith, but you yourself, as a fellow Christian, lead them away from the Lord, you're in trouble. You guys following me? Second thing he says, hey, listen, there's 99 sheep, one wanders off, go get them. I want to break maybe a sacred cow that you may have been growing up with. The 99 sheep and the one that left is actually not about non-believers. Do you understand? It's about Christians. Sheep. Sheep, sheep, that's what you and I are. He is the great shepherd, right? Sheep. So he says, if 99 are there, one wanders off, it's your duty as a Christian, an under-shepherd, to go out and help the one that wandered away. You guys with me? Third one, dealing with sin in your church, how to help one another, overcome sin. Fourth one, forgiving each other because you've been forgiven much. The king and his servant, the servant and the unforgiving servant underneath. Jesus using the parable. Hey, you've been forgiven much, now you need to forgive much of others. You guys with me? So let me summarize it all. Jesus is saying that you're all my children and you've entered it in with a childlike posture. And if you didn't notice, sometimes children, they don't always follow instructions. Come on, mums and dads, they don't always follow instructions. They get distracted. They wander off. Sometimes they lose their way. So he says, I'm going to safeguard you against this. And I'm going to give you some parables to show you how to behave. Jesus is saying, hey, help a brother out. Help a brother out. Help a sister out. We're going to go there this morning. It's implications for us as Nations Church Belmont. It says this, if you haven't seen your brother and sister and you haven't seen them for 5 weeks and they've been coming to church and you got a relationship with them, guess what? When you get home from church, give them a call. Send them a text. Sister, I ain't seen you for 5 weeks. What is anything going on in your life that I can help you with? Can I make a meal? Can I see where you're at? Can I help you with something that's struggling with, you're struggling with? Do you feel a bit ashamed to be at church? Don't be. It says, hey, that's your duty as believers. He says, hey, if your brother comes to you and says, hey, man, I'm struggling in sin. You don't shoo them away. It's like, come on, let's go. Let's do this together. Let's figure out a way. Let's pray for one another. Let's help one another. Someone comes and says, I've got unforgiveness in my heart. That's okay. Let's take it before the king. Let's seek forgiveness together. They're doing life together. It's 99, leaving the one. It doesn't say, hey, listen, church, if you got one that went away, make sure to email your pastor because he needs to follow them up. I mean, I could be reading the wrong Bible here, but I've exegeted that text. It doesn't say that. He says, hey, church, under shepherds, you and I, if you see your brother and sister that's walked away, come on, let's do it together. Let's be childlike in our faith. Help them out. Now, here's the thing that I know about children. See, when a child, like being childlike, right, when they're at a park, they actually get excited at other friends coming around. They get excited with the park being full of kids. Like, not many kids are super excited to go to the park and there's no one there, just them by themselves. Some kids are, and that's cool. But most kids, they get excited when other people are there. They get excited when their friends are there. Here's where the shift happens. And they walk over and they take their toy. Oh, man. Don't you touch my digger. You touch anything else in here? Everything else you can touch, but my digger is my digger. You know what I'm saying? I've had that since I was a baby. Don't you touch it. Don't touch it. It's childlike. To want to have everybody. It's childlike to say, yeah, we'll open our doors. Everybody come, bring. We want to see friends and families. We want to see the lost. If you're new or visiting, you're so welcome in this house today. But, you're sitting there. No, that's okay. No, it's just that's my seat. No, it's cool. It's cool. No, I've just been here 35 years. It's cool. No, I got no issues with it, but I'll just, in the message, I'll probably put your name and number on the screen just to keep it real, you know. We laugh about it, but what about this? They come. But holding on to our callings, our giftings, so tightly. Oh, like, no, I'm a prayer warrior. I'm prophetic. Oh, cool. Could you pray for me? Could you encourage me with the word of the Lord? Oh, no, it's just something that I just do it with my close friends, you know. You're not there yet. We can laugh and we can nod our heads, but for too long that's happened in the church. And God's saying, hey, come, be childlike, share your gifts. Share your talents. Share your resources with your fellow brother and sister. Look out for people that have been around and you haven't seen them before. Gee, this isn't like, you can hate me all you want, but this is Jesus' words. This is his teaching. This ain't mine. This is his teaching. And we have to come back to a childlike posture in our campuses, in our churches, in our worlds. And maybe you're in the room and I get it. Maybe you entered the kingdom of God simply believing that God can use your life to minister to others, but some things happened that left you hurt, bitter, disappointed. Can I simply encourage you this morning to keep blessing your brothers and sisters in the room? Can I encourage you to go again? The gifts and callings of God, they're without reproach, my friend. We need a season of healing and waiting, absolutely, but don't hold your gifting to yourself. My last point is this, as the band joins me. Childlike posture is persistent in faith. Remember, we started with Luke 18. To understand Luke 18, 15, we have to understand the pretext. Pretext is Luke 18, 1 to 8. Let me summarize it. It'll be on the screen. You can look at it in your own time. Jesus says, there was a widow and a judge. The judge did not fear God, nor was scared of God for an outcome for himself, but he was annoyed because a widow kept coming asking for an outcome. And in the annoyance of the widow persisting and persisting and persisting, this judge who did not fear God, he did not understand the kingdom of God, said, surely because of your persistence, because you are crying out day and night. And Jesus says this, listen, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Did you catch that? Who cry to him yearly, who cry to him weekly. It's a challenging word. Who cry to him day and night. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will not. They will see justice and it'll get done quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find this kind of faith on the earth? In this day and age, I believe one of the most powerful weapons you can have as a believer is persistent faith. The text says nothing about how generous the judge is. In fact, the judge isn't even a picture of God. It says he didn't fear God. Jesus was making an emphatic point. The point wasn't the outcome. The point was the persistence of the widow. The persistence. And Jesus says, when I come back, I'm going to be looking and will I find this kind of persistent faith? Here's the thing. It's childlike to be persistent, but it's childish to be distracted. The Lord wants a persistent church, not a distracted church. The Lord wants a persistent church. The Lord wants persistent prayer. The Lord wants persistent faith. And the enemy knows it, so he'll counter with distracted church, distracted faith. I have three beautiful children. Stunning. But when the school term hits, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you'll hear the same three words echo every 3 minutes. Shoes, lunchbox, hair. Shoes, lunchbox, hair. Shoes, lunchbox, hair. Kids, are your shoes on? Kids, is your lunchbox? Kids, is your hair? And when you think you couldn't say it one more time, you say it again. Sometimes they've got one shoe on. That's okay. We've completed the task. Come on. Parents, come on. You can feel me in the room. You know what I'm talking about. Shoes. Lunchbox. Hair. Shoes. Lunchbox. And it's a constant reminder. And they're putting their shoes on. Oh, that's right. They run to their room, get distracted. Getting their lunchbox out. Oh, just remembered that thing in the backyard that I remembered about 3 weeks ago. All right, I'm just going to go. But occasionally something happens. In fact, one time my son said, Dad. I said, what, son? Remember 4 weeks ago? Yeah. Very exact in his memory. You were wearing a white shirt with red shorts. And we were outside. We were getting outside of Coburn Ark. And you said to me that we'll go back there one day And I'm just asking you when that one day is. That's about 3 weeks ago. You said we'll go back in a few weeks' time. So by my count, it's a few weeks' time. And I'm just wondering if 3 weeks ago, when you had that random line outside of Coburn Ark, I'm just wondering if I could hold you to that word. Sun, shoes, hair, lunchbox. How do you remember that? Putting my daughter to bed. It's time to go to bed. Dad. Remember 5 years ago? It's a beautiful autumn's day. The birds were tweeting. I remember because that was the day that, true story, once was gone over the speed limit. My daughter never lets me forget it. She said, remember that day? You've gone over the speed limit. Kind of said afterwards, you'd get me some ice cream. I was going to get her ice cream because I didn't want her to tell her mom what happened. But long story. So you know, she's like, you have ice cream. You never got it for me. Said, yeah, right. Shoes. Lunchbox. Hair. Isn't it funny? The things that they are persistent with are the things that matter most to them. So here's what I'm asking. What matters most to you? What matters most to you? Because what mattered most to the widow with the persistent judge is important to understand because of the cultural context. She had no husband. She had nothing. She had no means to live. She had nothing going on. What mattered to her was generational living. What mattered to her was life. She needed to survive. She needed to live. Gareth, what matters? What matters, as a reminder to everyone at this campus, what matters is that Jesus saved us, not us. What matters is that we're here, but by the grace of God, for the grace of God. What matters is that we didn't work this out ourselves. He worked it out for us. What matters is that He died a cruel, horrific death on a cross. It was a criminal's death. We should have been up there. He took our place. That's what matters. After 3 days, He rose again. He left the Holy Spirit to be our helper. We aren't by ourselves in our life. That's what matters to us. What matters might be simple, Gaz. You're right. It is simple, but it is the gospel. And because it's simple, we got to be persistent with it. So the enemy knows. He knows. He doesn't need to destroy you. He just needs to distract you. So he'll distract you. And he'll distract you from with all the secondary stuff. And all the stuff. Because when you were childlike, you entered into the kingdom of God. God, everything I have is yours. I want to live for you. When the childishness crept in, God, everything I have is, well, no, that's mine. That's. But I want to remind you, heaven's our home, as we said last week. We came into this world with nothing, friend. We'll leave with nothing. And I want to enter in with a childlike faith. And on my last dying breath, I want to finish with a childlike faith. I want to be a believer that finishes like I started. And Jesus paints the picture. You got to enter with a childlike faith because He knows that when you enter and as you journey, you can't let it go ever. You enter with a childlike posture and we finish this life with a childlike posture. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Belmont.